We have two statements in the Gemara recording a conversation, a dialogue between Esther and the Chachamim. The first statement in the Gemara is called Kavuni Lidoros. And Kavuni Lidoros means that we should establish a chag, a celebration of Purim, for all generations. And we discussed the fact that Chachamim were very hesitant about this. Why? Because this particular celebration of Purim commemorates the downfall of the Goyim, of Paras Umadai, of those parts in the city of Shushan alone. They destroyed 75,000 people, maybe more. And the Chachamim were very hesitant to establish a simcha, a day of Mishter, commemorating Mapalosam shall Umos HaOlam, because they felt that would antagonize the Goyim. But eventually, Esther persevered, and the Chachamim gave in. And her argument was, it's already written on in the records of Paras Umadai, as the Megillah says at the end. And therefore they already know about the fact that we, the Jewish people, were saved by Hashem's intervention, by this great miracle, and therefore they won't feel antagonized if we set up a holiday to commemorate that great miracle. That's the first dialogue between Esther and the Chacham. The second dialogue is called Kavuni Lidoros. Now, what is Kavuni Lidoros? In the first dialogue, they were just establishing Purim as a holiday, a commemoration on which they would tell over the miracle. And they perhaps would even read Megillas Esther, but Megillas Esther was still what you'd call Torah Shebal Peh. It was just a tradition that would be passed on by word of mouth. In the second dialogue, Esther is trying to prevail over the Chachamim, Kavuni Lidoros, to establish Megillas Esther as part of Kisvei HaKodesh, to incorporate it into Tanakh. And that would mean that it would have the status of any part of Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And then there would be a formal reading on Purim of the Megillah from a klaf, As part of Torah Shebichsav. Here the Chachamim were hesitant because of a pasuk in Mishlei. I'll read to you the pasuk in Mishlei. Shlomo HaMelech says, "Halo kasavti lecha shlishim." And the Gemara understands that this word shlishim, which means three times over from the word shalosh, is a reference to the mice of Hamolek. And the Gemara basically establishes that this pasuk gives us license to mention Amalek in Tanakh up to but not beyond three times. And that's what the Gemara darshins, Shalishim Velo Rebbein. Now the Mefarshim here, as I mentioned yesterday, are very bothered by this. I mean, what's the inhibition to mention Amalek over and over and over again? So this has something to do with the pasuk at the end of Bishalach in the context of Amalek. It says there, ki yod al kes ka, yud ke, milchom Hashem ba'amalek. So ka is half of God's name. And Chazal say that as long as Amalek is around and evil is prevailing, then ein Hashem sholem, that the name of God is not complete. So as soon as we mention Amalek, we're really already bringing up some bad associations, that God's name is not complete. Kaviyochel, that God himself has not succeeded, if you pardon the phrase, in defeating Amalek. So therefore, three times in Tanakh, Amalek is going to be recorded. Now, where are those three times? So once is in Parashas Bishalach and Sefer Shmos. And that's when Amalek attacks the Jewish people after they leave Mitzrayim. The second is in Parshas Ki Teitze, at the end of Parshas Ki Teitze, and they were given the command of Zohar, Eis Asher Solecha Amalek. And then finally, the third time it says in Tanakh about Amalek, that's in Sefer Shmuel. Because Shaul HaMelech is given the command when Shmuel declares Pakadati Eis Asher Asolcha Amalek, and then Shaul HaMelech is given the command to go out and battle and destroy Amalek. So those are the three times. Now, if we're going to incorporate Megillas Esther, Eric, we're just reviewing what we did yesterday. We have a chair for you here. Oh, you want to bring another chair? Okay. Right? If we're going to be... There's no lack of chairs here until finally we fill up the place, right? if we add a fourth time by incorporating Megillas Esther and being Kovet Lidoros as part of Tanakh, then we have violated this rule of Shlishim Velo Rebein, Velo Revi'im. And we've mentioned Amalek four times in Tanakh, and we can't do this. So this is why the Chachamim hesitate to incorporate and upgrade Megillas Esther to the status of Kisvei HaKodesh, to be incorporated into Tanakh. Now again, Kavuni Lidoros means that we would read Megillas Esther, but not as part of Tanakh. You know, we would tell over the story and the great miracles, and we would celebrate with Mishnah, and we're not worried about antagonizing the Goyim, because this is already recorded on Divrei HaYomim L'Malchei Parasim Modai. But to upgrade the status of this Megillah to that of Tanakh, and give it a din of Kisvei HaKodesh, that we can't do because of this mandate that says Shalishim, and Shalishim means Velo Rebeim. Three times and not four. Why did the Chachamim eventually capitulate? Why did they kowtow and accept Esther prevailed that Megillas Esther would be incorporated into Tanakh? And the answer is they took the pasuk that says Ksov Zos Zikaron Basefer and they chopped it into four parts. So this pasuk Ksov Zos Zikaron Basefer is at the end of Parshas Bishalach, and there are four words. Now, initially, before the Chachamim found this kind of a basis, a drasha for adding a fourth, they thought that there were only three occasions written in this pasuk, and that they combined Ksov Zos as referring to one of the three, and that's Sefer Shmos, which means Parshas Bishalach. And then Zikaron refers to Mishneh Torah. We'll soon see that Mishneh Torah is called Zikaron. And then the third word, which is Basefer, that's a reference to Shmuel. So there's no room here to add a fourth. But why did the Chachamim finally agree? They took the two words Ksov Zos and they split it into two. And they're willing to say that Ksov is a reference, an allusion to Shmos. Zos is an allusion to Devarim. And Zikaro now becomes the word for Shmuel. Then what do we do with the word Basefer? And that's to include a fourth time of mentioning Amalek, and that's going to be Megillas Esther. So that's what we got up to yesterday. And I promised you that I would try to figure out what was the original Havavina of the Chachamim when they interpreted Ksov Zos as referring to one of the occasions, meaning Shmos in this case. And then in the Maskana, finally the Chachamim says, no, Ksov Zos can be split into two, whereas Ksov is referring to Shmos and Zos is referring to Dvarim, which gives you the extra superfluous word Basefer for Megillas Esther. What was the Vikuach back and forth? So I have here in the back of the Masifta what's called Yalkut Biurim, and he summarizes, he gives you like an overview of four different achronim, four of the more or less recent contemporary commentators, all of which, each one in their own style, try to explain why the Chachamim, you know, at the end of the day, capitulated and Ksov Zos would be split into two, and then we have the extra word, Basefer. Now, this list of four achronim is like a who's list in the commentators on Megillah. It seems like everybody wrote on this. I'll just give you the names of them. The Pnei Yoshua. Pnei Yoshua is the first of them because he lived almost 300 years ago, 250 years ago. Then the Turi Evan lived about 150 years ago. The Sfasemes was almost a contemporary. He lived about 100 years ago. And then the Nefesh Chaya which I think is, if I'm not mistaken, is the Nodeb Yehudi, lived about 3 centuries ago. Now, I have to tell you by way of introduction that after going through all these 4 commentators, I'm still in the dark. So I don't promise you, you know, any magical solutions here. But let me try to give you at least a taste of what's going on over here. The Pnei Yoshua understands that the word Shileshim here refers to the 3 parts of Tanakh, namely Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. And therefore, if Megillas Esther, which is the original position of the Chacham, is not part of Tanakh, then there's no room here to add a 4th, because since the 3rd word in this Pasuk, which is Basefer, is indicative of Ksuvim, well, Esther right now is not in Ksuvim. And therefore, we're not allowed to add a 4th time. What was the Maskana? The Maskana was the following. Heshivu la Shileshim v'lo Rebbeim ad shematzu mikra kasuv ksov zos. Now, here's the key, according to the Pnei Yoshua. The word zos has to be understood in the Maskana of the Chachamim as referring to Torah's Moshe. And why is that so? Because the Pasuk says, V'zos ha-Torah asher sam Moshe. So the word zos now becomes, how shall I call it, a password for Torah itself. Oh, u'mizeh muchach shekol ma shebichlal zos nechshav pam achas. In other words, you can't exclude Sefer Dvarim from the word zos. And the reason for that is because Zos HaTorah, that pasuk Zos HaTorah, appears at the end of the Torah, referring to and including Sefer Dvarim. So if you're following me, according to the Pnei Yoshua's Chap, what the Chachamim realized at the end of the day was that the word Zos could refer both to Shmos and to Dvarim, which again frees up the last word of Basefer for Megillas Esther. The reason for that is because Vizos Torah HaTorah Shasam Moshe, which is a password for the entire Torah, and therefore it could include both Ashmos and Dvarim. And then the next word in the pasuk after Vizos is Zikaron. Zikaron is referring to the Nevi'im. And we now have Ksov Zos. Right? So you have Ksov, and you have Zos, and you have Zikaron, and then you have Basefer. Now Basefer, he says, is now open for Ksuvim. Now this is very interesting. The Pnei Yoshua adds another little knetch here, and he says the following. If we could have Ksov Zos Basefer as referring to Torah, right, in Zos, which means both, and then we have, right, we have, and then we have Zos, and now we have Basefer. He says that the word Basefer must refer to Ksuvim. Because again, this was the Pnei Yoshua's initial position, that the word Basefer refers to Ksuvim. Now, why Ksuvim called Ksuvim? Because they're written in a Sefer. And what that means is that, as opposed to Nevi'im, where the Nevuah is meaningful and has a status in and of itself, even before it's incorporated in Tanakh, Ksuvim only becomes important and valid on a halach. You know, we only recognize and granted a status halachically only after it's written, after it's incorporated into the Torah. So now we look at the mentionings of Amalek, and we only find in Torah and Nevi'im, right? We only find Torah and Nevi'im. We don't find Ksuvim. So therefore, since the word Basefer now is referring to Ksuvim, because Zikaron is referring to Nevi'im, right? Nevi'im is Zikaron. Zikaron is more of an intellectual comprehension. So even though it's not Paksuvim. And Zos is referring to the entire Torah. So we have now Zos referring to the entire Torah. Then we have Zikaron, which is referring to Nevi'im. And now we're stuck with the word Basefer. What are we going to do with the word Basefer? That's to refer to Ksuvim. So where is it? We looked all over Ksuvim. We didn't find any mention of Amalek. So that's where the Chachamim, with this brilliant Chav, finally understood that if we can combine both Shmos and Dvarim into Vizos, and then we have zikaron for Nevi'im, and now we can fill in the Bas Sefer as referring to Ksuvim. That's the approach of the Pnei Yehoshua. Then we have the Turi Evan. The Turi Evan says the following, that the Pasuk should have written the following. It should have said, Ksov Zikaron Basefer. There's an extra word in this Pasuk. This is what the Chachamim discovered after their dialogue back and forth with Esther, that the word Zos is completely superfluous in the Pasuk. Says the Turi Evan, the Pasuk could have equally have said, Ksov Zikaron Basefer, without any loss. And since this word Zos is completely superfluous, then it's coming to include Mishneh Torah. So now Mishneh Torah is covered by the word Zos. Yotzei Shat Torah Koreis L'mashikosuv Kan of Mishneh Torah B'loshin Yochid Ksav Zos Ksav Zos Ksov Zos Inkei Muchach Shat Torah V'Mishneh Torah Nechshovim L'Ksav Echad. So he's saying that the word, how do we know that the word Zos in the Maskana again, this is what the Chachom HaMacharish, is coming to include not just Sefer Shmos, but also Mishneh Torah? Because if the Torah had only meant to include Shmos, then it could have said Ksov Zikaron Basefer without any loss. So now what we're saying is that the word Ksov is referring not just to Shmos, but also to Mishneh Torah, meaning to Dvarim, because of the word Zos. The word Zos becomes extra now.
That Zos refers to it, or Ksov Zos refers to, like, is that...
He's saying the following, Hamila Zos...
So Zos refers to...
Right, Bala Rabos es Mishneh Torah. See, what they didn't realize was, initially, they thought that if you read the Pasuk, Ksov Zos Zikaron Basefer, then it's only they're only indicating three. That's the Shilation, correct? But now what they were Machadish in the Maskana, says the Turi Evan, is that the word Zos is completely superfluous. And then what you have is Ksov Zos Zikaron, which covers all three. And what's the Basefer is coming to include Megillas Esther.
But just both so far, both have relied on Zos being referring to both Shmos and Dvarim. Why not? I mean, when we were discussing yesterday, we were talking about it being four words, Ksov, Zos, Zikaron, Sefer, and therefore Ksov and Zos each referring to a different part of the, Shmos and Dvarim.
Right. Now it seems that
they seem to be focusing on Zos, and Ksov is almost like...
Because again, I think what the thrust of what everybody's saying here is that in the Havamina, when the Chachamim resisted, they felt that Ksov Zos is one phrase. The key of keys here is to prove that Ksov Zos can include two, which means we go on to Shmuel, which is Zikaron, and then we have Basefer to include Megillas Esther.
So is a phrase as opposed to... They're not just
in the Havamina, correct. The Ksov Zos was one entity, and therefore... And therefore, what we're going to have is Shmos, and we're not going to have Mishneh Torah. Therefore, we need Zikaron for Mishneh Torah and Basefer for Shmuel, and then there's no room for Esther. The Chiddush of the Maskana is that we can take Ksov Zos and divide it and split it into two and derive two things, meaning both Shmos and Mishneh Torah. How do we do that? So the Pnei Yeshua says, because the word Zos HaTorah refers to all the Torah. And the Turi Evan says, because the word Zos is completely superfluous. That's, again, Rabbi Olsen, this is the best I can do. I can't do any better than this. As I told you at the outset, it's all very, very technical here. The third approach is that of Sfasemes. And he says the following, that afilu shekaes rebeim al yidei Torah Mishneh Torah nechshavim lishnayim velo lishlishim becholzos kevin shator kosos amilu zos shehimi uteres harei bol rabo shegam Mishneh Torah yesh lahazkir maise amot. Again, the Sfasemes is a slightly different version of what we saw in the Turi Evan. Okay, well, so you know what? I think we'll leave it over here for now. Again, we could probably spend hours on this, but I think we more or less, you know, exhausted what we have to get out of it. And I'll leave myself room to add something if I see something as we go along. Okay, so now we're up to Kitanoi. Okay, then? So that's where we want to start now, Kitanoi. And you'll find Kitanoi. How do I give you a simon here? It's do you see where Tosis Dirmaska Lekulu? And then there's a Tosis Dirmaska Rav Nachman. So if you sort of put your finger right in the middle there, you'll see Kitanoi. The first word in the line is Basefer. We have it?
Yeah.
So this is the last thing we did yesterday, and the Gemara actually quotes a Machlokas Tanoi. Tanoim between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar Amudai as to how to darshan. Do we darshan Ksov Zosi Karma Sefer as 4, which gives room for Esther, and that's going to be the Shita of Rabbi Elazar Mohamodai, or do we darshan it as 3, that's going to be the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua, which leaves absolutely no room for Megillas Esther? So you'll take a look. The first sheet of that of Rabbi Yeshua says Ksov Zos. Mashakosuv Khan, what it says here in Sefer Shmos, Zikar, now he needs another word, Mashakosuv Mishneh Torah, and then you're left with Basefer, Mashakosuv Benevim, dear Rabbi Shua, there's no room for a fourth, and therefore Esther has to be left out, because since Esther, as we said before, is Mechias HaMolek, is Maisa HaMolek, that has to be left out because of the Pasuk, Shalishim Velo Revim. Whereas Rabbi Elazar Amodai Omer Ksov Zos, he's going to take Ksov Zos as incorporating both Shmos and Mishneh Torah. Mashakosuv Kan Ube Mishneh Torah. So Ksov Zos is a phrase that gives me everything. Let's go with the Pnei Yoshua's Pshat, because Zos HaTorah includes all of the Torah. Zikara now is free. Mashakosuv Benevim for Shmuel. And the VM, as we said before, is called Zikaron because it's meaningful even on an abstract intellectual level, even before it's committed to writing. But Sefer now becomes superfluous, much because of the Megillah. So yesterday I got really stuck. Why? Because I couldn't understand, what are we going to do with Rabbi Yeshua? In other words, Rabbi Yeshua now is back to where we were before when the Chachamim resisted Esther. So if you're going historically, the Chacham eventually capitulated and they had this drasha. That's fine if you hold like the drasha of Rabbi Elazar Modai, but now Rabbi Yeshua, who's generations later, is again rejecting this drasha that includes Megillah. Do you follow what bothers me? I mean, how could this be? And now what I want to show you, which I didn't know yesterday, was Enochinami, we're not sure whether or not Esther is included in Kisvei HaKodesh. And that all depends upon a halacha called Mitame Esiyadayim, which is the next Gemara. So just by way of introduction, a few words about the next sugya. There's a halacha called Yadayim Tmeos, that if the hands become Tmeos, they incur some sort of contamination. If they come in contact with Truma, so with hands that are tmeos, you touch truma, because of the kedushas truma, yadayim are metameos and postos as a truma. Now there are many different ways in which yadayim could become tmeos, and the Chachamim instituted a brand new way, which according to the Torah, it doesn't exist. And that is, if the Yadayim come in contact with Kisvei HaKodesh. So imagine if you have a Sefer Torah here. I'll give you an extreme case, right? It's open up on the table, and I would touch the Sefer Torah itself, meaning the gvil of the Sefer Torah, the cloth of the Sefer Torah. In such a case, my Yadayim become Tmeos, Midrabanan, and if I now have a contact with Truma, that passes the Truma. Truma Psula has to be burnt. Now, why did the Chachamim institute this Tuma? So the Meiri says that this is the way that the Chachamim were discouraging a person from touching Kisvei HaKodesh. And why do we have to avoid touching Kisvei HaKodesh? So that's a sugi Masechta Shabbos. Rav Parnach says the following. that ha'ochez b'sefer Torah arum, which means he touches the cloth directly, nikbar below mitzvah, which literally means he'll be buried without any mitzvahs, but it means that he'll forfeit the mitzvah of kvod sefer Torah. And this is a special mitzvah that we have to be in awe and dignify the Kisvei HaKodesh. So now the Gemara is going to embark on an issue here. What happens if a person touches a Megillas Esther? Would his hands become tmeos, midin Kisvei HaKodesh? Because Hanogeh b'Kisvei HaKodesh, the Rabbanan established that they yadayim are tmeos. And that question hinges on another question. What's the status of Megillas Esther? Is it considered Kisvei HaKodesh? Is it not considered Kisvei HaKodesh? And here we have a major machlokas. So take a look inside. And the Gemara first quotes Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Then the Gemara is going to find a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. The first statement of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel is, Esther eino metames hayodayim. Which means that it's not part of Kisvei HaKodesh. Well, now, what lies at the heart of this issue as to whether or not Esther could be considered Kisvei HaKodesh or not? We know it on the level of Drasha that it depends how you learn the word Ksov Zos and whether or not it's a violation of Shilashim. But on a deeper level, the Gemara is now vacillating on a very fundamental point here, a very fundamental issue. And that is, was Esther written by Kisvei HaKodesh? I'm sorry, start again. Was Esther written by Ruach HaKodesh? Esther for sure had Ruach HaKodesh, but did she actually write the Megillah with Ruach HaKodesh? It could be that she had Ruach HaKodesh. For example, we're going to soon see that Shlomo HaMelech had Ruach HaKodesh, but there are many writings of his that were not written by Kisvei HaKodesh. He wrote thousands of different, Mishalim, what we call. But only a few of them were selected because they were written by Kisvei HaKodesh. Do you understand what we're saying over here, Rabbosai? There's the Torah Sheval Peh, and then there's the Torah Sheval Chsav. The Torah Sheval Peh, the ideas that are embodied in the Megillah for sure are Ruach HaKodesh. Esther had Ruach HaKodesh. But whether or not the actual writing, which would upgrade the Torah Sheval Peh to Torah Sheval Chsav and give it that special status in Kisvei HaKodesh, that's going to be an issue. Did she actually write? Can we prove from the Megillah that the writing itself of the Megillah and the words of the Megillah were committed and formulated based on her Ruach HaKodesh? So from the fact that Shmuel made a statement that Esther is not Kisvei HaKodesh, all right, it's not Metame Yisiyadayim, that means it wasn't written by Ruach HaKodesh. L'meimah, shall we assume, disover Shmuel, Esther la b'Ruach HaKodesh nemra? V'harei, v'ha omar Shmuel, Esther b'Ruach HaKodesh nemra? Now, really, in effect, when the Gemara is postulating this contradiction between two statements of Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Shmuel, the truth is that there is no contradiction. Why? Because there are two issues here, and they're really independent, one of the other. One issue is whether or not Esther had Ruach HaKodesh. But the other issue is whether or not she wrote the Megillah with Ruach HaKodesh. Now, it could be that when Shmuel made the statement, Esther Beruach HaKodesh Nemra, what he meant to say was that she had Ruach HaKodesh and she wrote the Megillah, but she didn't write it with that status of Kisvei HaKodesh of Ruach HaKodesh. Now, when Shmuel makes the statement, Esther Beruach HaKodesh Nemra, how do we know that Esther wrote how do we know that Esther had Ruach HaKodesh? So that's going to be the whole sugya later. The Megillah actually says, Kibu v'kiblu, that the Jewish people accepted Esther's mandate and Purim for all generations. How could we know such a thing? We'd only be able to know that through Ruach HaKodesh. Hold on to that point, we're going to have that in the original. I'm just giving you a preview of coming attractions. So now the Gemara makes the obvious reconciliation of the two statements of Shmuel. For sure Shmuel holds that Esther was Nemra b'Ruach HaKodesh. For sure she had Ruach HaKodesh. Everything that she said was in Ruach HaKodesh. But Likros, do we know that... I'm sorry, let me backtrack again. Nemra Likros, that's how you have to read it. She certainly formulated the Megillah but she formulated it as Torah Sheval Peh, Likros. Likros means that we would read the Maisa of the Yeshua of Purim, but we were reading it as Torah Sheval Peh. It's like, so to speak, if I would read a history book that would detail all the blow-by-blow occurrences that took place at the time of Achashverosh until the ultimate Yeshua. Again, that would be maybe Torah Sheval Peh. You know, it's even if I wrote it on a piece of paper, it still retains the status of Torah Sheval Peh. It's not Torah Shebichsav. Again, that's not to equate it with Esther. Even in this presentation of Shmuel, Likros means that Esther, every word that came out of her mouth in describing the events that took place from Achashverosh until the end, that's all Beruach HaKodesh. But what Shmuel is claiming is that she never went one step further, lo nemar lichtov. In other words, she never wrote it down as Ruach HaKodesh to make it part of Kisvei HaKodesh. So on the one hand, everything that Esther said in the Megillah is Ruach HaKodesh. That makes it Torah Sheval Peh. Shmuel rejects the idea that it was upgraded to the status of Torah Shebichsav, because her writing of the Megillah was not written as Torah Shebichsav. She didn't take the Ruach HaKodesh and get a mandate to write it down word for word and make it part of Ruach HaKodesh, make it part of Kisvei HaKodesh. Therefore, Esther is not Metame Yasiyadan. So Rabosa, again, if I would quiz you just to see if you're following me, there's no stira between two statements of Shmuel. When Shmuel agrees that Esther was expressed in Ruach HaKodesh, that doesn't contradict the fact that Shmuel says that Megillah says is not part of Kisvei HaKodesh and it's not Metame Yasiyadan. Why not? Can you tell me the difference between the two? What does Shmuel agree to?
She had
to, and therefore, what was the status of Megillah Esther according to Shmuel? Exactly, it's Torah Sheval Peh. Excellent. Masha Enkein, if you hold that Esther's Metame Yasiyadayim, which we'll soon see is the opinion of many different Tanoim, then you're saying that it's not just Torah Sheval Peh, but it's also Torah Shebichsav. Now, Rabosa, I wanted to ask you, what's the significance of upgrading from Torah Sheval Peh to Torah Shebichsav? So I found here an article on this very topic in a sefer called Gvuras Yitzchak. And I want to spend a few minutes with you just to share the highlights, because it's a fantastic... Okay, just when I get to the fantastic part. Okay.
Sorry.
And it's funny that it's because of Tanakh, and you don't know anything about Tanakh until you read this. Okay, fine, doesn't matter. Anyway, so what does it say? The Bahag Shita, listen carefully, is that women are obligated to Megillas Esther, but they cannot read the Megillah on behalf of the man. And that's called, in the language of the Bahag, Noshim Chayovos Bishmiya Velo Bekriya. Do you remember this? We had a great discussion about this back on Daf Dalet. So the question is why? What's the difference? And all the Mefarshim Perchot asked this kash on the Bahag between the women's obligation and the men's obligation. Why the women only chayev in Shmiya but not in Kriya? So in order to appreciate this, we have to see a Gemara Megillah on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. See if you can open up to Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. And here we'll see the difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Sheval Peh. The Gemara in Megillah on Daf Yud Ches says that a loez means he's a foreigner, and the question is, if he doesn't understand the Megillah, because the Megillah is read in Lashon Kodesh, and in fact the Ksav of the Megillah is what's called Ksav Ashuris, and the Gemara establishes that even though he doesn't understand, you'll see it's about 10 lines up from the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Aleph, Yotza. So the Gemara says, "V'lo yadu mai ka'amri." He doesn't understand the word of the Megillah. Why is he yotze? So the Gemara answers, "Midi havi anoshim v'ami aretz." The women and the ignorant, many people don't understand it. And not only that, the Gemara says there are words in the Megillah that nobody understands. Achshirapanim b'nei arabachem. I'm not pronouncing it right. Mi'ika, who knows what it means? Ella, but rather mitzvahs kriya upersume nisa, hachinami mitzvahs kriya upersume nisa. And the Gemara establishes that reading the Megillah has two parts to it. Number one, there's a mitzvah of kriya. And number two, there's a mitzvah of pirsum hanes. So Rashi says that even those who don't understand the Megillah, and that includes us, to some extent, nevertheless, we know what the content of the Megillah is, and therefore we can fulfill the mitzvah of pirsum hanes. But kriya, that's a separate identity. So what is this all about? So he says the following, that he quotes a smag. Afal gav dinoshim chayovos b'mikra megillah einam otziosis hazcharim. He says that even though with regard to Ner Chanukah, a woman can be motzi a man in Ner Chanukah, because afein hoyu both on us, but that doesn't apply according to the Bahag, the smag in Megillah. He says shiny mikra megillah shehu kamo kriya satorah. This is fascinating. These are Rishonim who say that the halacha is that mitzvah's kriya is part of kriya satorah. And therefore, a woman cannot be motzi a man in kriya samagila, because kriya samagila is kriya satorah. Now, this is very strange, because if you're telling me that the mitzvah of kriya in the Megillah is kriya satorah, then Talmud Torah requires that we understand what we're learning. No, is Talmud Torah is just like parroting? You know, we just read words and we don't have any clue. So it comes out, and again, there are many sources of this for this. But the Rav Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Talmud Torah writes that herein lies the phenomenal, fundamental difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. With regard to Torah Shebaal Peh, Eino Yodea V'Eino Mevin Mashalomed is Lo Yotzi Yedei Chovasa. So if I take out a Mishnah and I read the Mishnah 50 million times and I review it and I review, but I don't understand the word, meaningless. I've wasted my time. However, in Torah Shebichsav, Yotzei Mitzvahs Talmud Torah Al Yedei Kriya Af Below Avana. The Rav Shulchan Aruch establishes that here's the fundamental difference. In Torah Shebichsav, you can be Yotzei the Mitzvah even without Havana. So that's what the Gemara means in Megillah on Daf Yud Ches. The Gemara says there are two dimensions to Mikra Megillah. You're right, we don't understand the Megillah, but it doesn't matter. Since Megillah is Torah Shebichsav, the halacha of Torah Shebichsav is that for Kriya alone, I fulfill the mitzvah. As far as Pirsum Hanes is concerned, we have to understand what the miracle is about. We're all in it together. Men, women, children, and even the laws, they all could be explained the Megillah. And that Pirsum Hanes they could dip into. But as far as Kriya is concerned, that requires a Maisa Kriya of Talmud Torah. And that applies to Torah Shebichsav. Oh, now is the key to understand our Sugya. Why is that Sugya working overtime to establish whether or not Kriyas HaMegillah, whether or not Megillas Esther is part of Kisvei HaKodesh, Likasev, is because now we're going to upgrade the status of Kriyas HaMegillah to Torah Shebichsav. And now the Gemara on Daf Yud Ches makes sense, that we could be Yotze even if we don't understand the Megillah. Why? Because that's the din of Kriyas Torah Shebichsav. If Megillah would have remained Torah Shebaal Peh, then without Havana, it's meaningless. And Fisfasna, we don't accomplish any mitzvah. But now that we've upgraded, again, Shmuel disagrees, but we're going to see in the Hemshech HaSugya, we've upgraded the status of Megillas Esther to Torah Shebichsav, therefore we could be Yotze even without Havana. Now let's swing back to the Bahag. So the Bahag says that women cannot be motzi a man. Why not?
Same way you can't be motzi for Parsha Zohar. Women can't.
Because they're not mechuyev in Talmud Torah. Right. Since we've now said that there's two dimensions to Mikra Megillah. There's Kriyas HaTorah.
Even if they're mechuyev for Parsha Zohar, they still can't be. For other reasons, they can't be.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I wasn't discussing Parshas Zohar. I meant to talk about Megillas Esther. Okay, we can talk about Parshas Zohar. I just want to finish one point. Yeah. The Bahag says that a woman is obligated to Megillah, but only Shmiya, not Kriya, and therefore she can't be Motzi Men and Kriya Samegillah. So the question is why? Why shouldn't we equate the women with the men? We did that in Chanukah. The answer is that a man has a double chiyuv. He has a chiyuv of Kriya, B'toras Torah, and a chiyuv of pirsum hanes. A woman has the chiyuv of pirsum hanes. That's called shmiya. But the kriya, which means kriya satorah, a woman's not included in that, because the Torah says v'shinato v'nechem lo
v'nosecho. Then why is it that on Yud Chet the Mishnah is saying that you're not, that if you didn't, if the foreigner didn't heard it and didn't understand it, and he heard it in Hebrew and didn't understand it, then he's, you know, there's still.
In other words,
if it's presumably nice, how can you be yotze if you don't understand it? And then there's a second.
So Rashi says that we explain it.
We have a Mishnah,
right? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi, I didn't go through the Rashis with you because, you know, this is a little bit off the beaten path. I thought it was a fascinating limud that I saw just this morning. Yeah. But if you take a look at Rashi on what daf was it?
Yud Chet.
So Rashi says about 10 lines up from the bottom, presuming he says, "Afal pishen yodim asher shomim, sholim es hashomim, v'omrim mahi kriya zu, v'echaya nesu modiyim lahem." So again, when you talk about men, women, and children, when you talk about laws, and when you talk about words in the Megillah we don't understand, the main thing is that we understand the shakavatari of the Nes, and that will explain to them. So women could certainly, and also the laws, dip in to the kiyum of what? Of pirsum ha-Nes.
So,
you'll ask me, what about Kriya? Kriya Lechora means I'm reading Torah, and if I'm reading Torah, I have to understand it. The answer is, it's Torah Shabbat Sav. And if it's Torah Shabbat Sav, I don't have to understand it.
But then if this is what this is saying here, that you don't have to understand, then how can Shmuel be disagreeing if you've got a Mishnah saying you don't have to understand it because it's...
Okay, well, I didn't get to the end of the sugya here. I was just mentioning right. this as an introduction
okay,
to the sugya. I just wanted to tell you what's at stake here in this discussion.
Okay.
You know, you and I might think that what's at stake here is whether you classify Megillus Esther as Torah Shabbat Peh or Torah Shabbat Chassav. Okay, that's a very nice conceptual theoretical issue, but how does it cut ice? You know, where's the Nafgavina? And I'm telling you that the Nafgavina is going to be in terms of the Kiyum of Kriya. If we're going to establish that in Megillus Esther, it's not just an idea of understanding what the miracle was, Pirsum HaNes, but there's also a mitzvah of Kriya. And that means that we can have Kriya even if we don't understand what we're reading. How could that be? And the answer has to be that we upgraded to the status of Torah Shabbat Chassav. Now you're asking an excellent question. You know, how is Shmuel going to this? But we're going to see how things, you know, this is a long sugya. We're going to see how things eventually pan out. The bottom line is going to be of this sugya is that Esther, Megillus Esther, is part of Torah Shabbat Chassav. Now, Asher, you asked me about Zechira Samolik, and my brain wasn't on it. You know, when you hit me with
no, but I would. I guess like Kasha really is more simply in terms of if she's Bechuyev out Talmud Torah if you're saying that Megillah is a Kriya, so she can't be and the Mahad is saying she can't be Yotzi him, right? So what I was just saying is that he can't be Yotzi him because in general she can't be Yotze for Kriya at all. So she can't be motzi anybody for Kriya.
Any Kriya that's a Kriya of Talmud Torah,
right.
She doesn't have that mitzvah.
Okay. So I was just clarifying that.
Is that a universal thing? I mean,
yeah,
that's
universally, straight across the board.
For Megillah to Esther, is that a universal opinion that a woman...
Ah!
Because you're referring to... Oh! I'm saying this, is this...
You mean...
Are there other opinions?
Yeah, well... The Rambam doesn't differentiate between men and women. He says that women are chayiv in mikra megillah. He doesn't say that they're not chayiv in mikra megillah. No, the Rambam is going to reduce mikra megillah to pirsum ha-nes, and if it's pirsum ha-nes, then there's no difference between men and women. This reading of the Gemara that we suggested was a reading that would support the Bahag Shita, that there are two dimensions to Kriya Samagil. This Kriya is a mitzvah per se, and there you don't have to understand what's going on. And then there's Pirsum HaNes, which is a kiyum that requires an understanding. It doesn't mean you have to understand each word of the Megillah.
Right.
Nobody understands each word of the Megillah. But you have to understand what the Nes is all about. Again, exactly what would be the... You know, the absolutely critical elements in understanding and appreciating the miracle, I don't know. You know, for that I think we should read the Rambam, because the Rambam goes through, some of those issues. Oh, well, actually the Rambam does it in Hilchos Chanuk. I don't know if he does it in Hilchos Purim. Maybe we should go through Al-Anisa, you know, in the Tefillah. That Nusach is from the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Okay, now let's try to figure out whether or not the books of Tanakh are part of Kisvei HaKodesh. And this is not a simple matter. In other words, this din of Shmuel, that Esther is not Metamias Yadayim, is the subject of, well, I shouldn't say that, because what the Gemara is going to try to prove is that all the Tanoim are going to agree that Esther is Metame Yesu Yadayim against Shmuel. Meisvei, that's the cash on Shmuel. But what we're going to see is that there's a basic machlokes about various parts of Ksuvim as to whether or not they are part of Kisvei HaKodesh. For example, Koheles. Is Koheles part of Kisvei HaKodesh? Which, again, in terms of cutting ice, would touching a Megillus Koheles incur Tumah? Right? Because if it's Kisvei HaKodesh, it's Metame Yesu Yadayim. If it's not, it's not Metame Yesu Yadayim. So this is a machlokus between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. And Beit Shammai is of the opinion that Koheles is not part of Kisvei HaKodesh. That Koheles is full of very beautiful, insightful statements of Shmuel, but it was never written as part of Kisvei HaKodesh. That's the Shita of Beit Shammai. Now, Beit Shammai here is a kula. You know, usually Beit Shammai is a chumra, because Beit Shammai is now saying that if you touch a Megillas Koheles, you don't incur tumah. Rabbi Meir Omer Koheles Eina Metamis Yadayin. Rabbi Meir says that according to his version, even Beis Hillel agree that Koheles is not part of Kisvei HaKodesh. It's not Metamis Yadayin. Machlokas, but the Machlokas between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai was about Shir HaShirim. And it was Beis Hillel who said that Shir HaShirim is Kisvei HaKodesh, whereas Beit Shammai said that although Koheles is part of Kisvei HaKodesh, Shir HaShirim is not part of Kisvei HaKodesh. Again, there are very deep meanings here that we're just learning this on a very superficial level here. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shir HaShirim Metame Yesidayim, meaning even Beis Shammai agree that Shir HaShirim is Metame Yesidayim. Umachlokes per Koheles. The only machlokes regarding, in other words, whereas Rabbi Meir hold it that according to everybody, Koheles is not Metame Yesu Yadayim, and even Beis Hillel would agree. Beis Hillel was only disagreeing about Shir HaShirim. Rabbi Yossi says no, that everybody agreed that Shir HaShirim is Metame Yesu Yadayim, even Beis Shammai, and the Machlokes Beis Hillel Beit Shammai was about Koheles, and it was Beit Shammai who says that Koheles is not Metame Yesu Yadayim. Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon therefore makes the following comment, which is really just embellishing what we just learned, and that is that Koheles is Mikulei Beit Shammai Michumrei Beis Hillel. Now in Edios, the Mishnais in Edios list all the fluky cases, the exceptional cases in which Beit Shammai are on the Mekilim. It's very, very rare, and they're really exceptions to the rule. But one of the exceptions to the rule that's listed is Koheles, that according to Beit Shammai, if you touch Koheles with bare hands directly to then you're not Metame Yesu Yadayim. Aval Rus v'Shiyashim v'Esther Metame Yesu Yadayim. Meaning that Beit Shammai agree with regard to all the other Megillos of Rus, Shiyashim, and Esther, that they are Metame Yesu Yadayim. According to this Brisa, there was never a machlokas between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai about the status of Megillus Esther. Megillus Esther was clearly Metame Yesu Yadayim. It's part of Kisvei HaKodesh. The issue between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai might have been about Shir HaShirim, or according to Rabbi Yossi, everybody agreed that Shir HaShirim is part of Kisvei HaKodesh. The issue is only about Koheles. But as far as Esther is concerned, there was never a havamin in anyone's mind that Esther was certainly considered Kisvei HaKodesh. So the Gemara answers, Hu diomek Rabbi Yoshua. Oh, this validates me. This really saves me. Why? Because Shmuel now has to find one Tana that he holds of. In this Brisa, all the Tanoim agree pe'echad unanimously that Esther is called Kisvei HaKodesh is Metame Yesu Yadayim. How is Shmuel going to find at least one Tana? The answer is Rabbi Yeshua. Let's go back to Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua was the one who interpreted Shalishim. And Ksov Zosi Karva Sefer only gives a Shalishim. There was never an extra word for Esther, right? Another possible fourth time in which we can incorporate into Tanakh Maisa Molech. And therefore, Shmuel is standing on the shoulders of Rabbi Yeshua. So don't make Shmuel into the lonely man of faith. You know, even Shmuel has someone to stand on, and that's Rabbi Yeshua. So I'm very excited about this because I couldn't figure out what was going on over here. The Gemara just mentions Kitanoi here, which seems to leave us out in the cold as far as Esther's original, you know, she implored the Chazal of Kisguni Lidoros. Kisguni Lidoros means that my Megillah should be upgraded from the status of Torah Shebal Peh to the status of Torah Shebichsav. And the Chachamim finally agreed only because of this new drasha that gave me number 4. But Rabbi Yeshua never accepted the number 4. So the answer is Enochinami. According to Rabbi Yeshua, the Chachamim never accepted her imploring, you know, her desire to have Megillas Esther upgraded to the status of Kisvei HaKodesh. And therefore, Halacha L'maisa, says Shmuel, if you touch Megillas Esther, it's not Metame Yisya Dayan. Tanya, we have a brayso, Reb Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, Koheles Eino Metame Yisya Dayan, Mipnei Shechochmasel Shel Shlomo Hi. Reb Shimon ben Manasseh holds that all of Koheles is just Chochma Shel Shlomo. It's his wisdom. He was the wisest of all men. But he wasn't employing the normal mechanism of Ruach HaKodesh that would make it into Kisvei HaKodesh. And we've already seen such a shita earlier in the first price of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, Koheles ain't a metami yisiyadayim. In fact, according to Rabbi Meir, even Beis Hillel would agree that Koheles is not metami yisiyadayim. And Rabbi Shimon Asiyah certainly took that position that Koheles is not Metami Sidayim. It wasn't said be Ruach HaKodesh for Ksiva, but rather it was said be Chochma. Amrulos, the Chachamah responded, because again, ultimately, we said that Koheles, according to Beis Hillel, is Metami Sidayim. So we're not going to accept the opinion neither of Rabbi Meir nor of Rabbi Shimon Ben Asiyah. So what did the Chachamah respond to Rabbi Shimon Ben Asiyah's claim that this is all Chochma? And they gave two arguments against this. Number one, Amrulo v'chizo bilvad, Amar v'lo kvar nemar v'yidaber shloshes alofim mashal. Okay, if somebody could just tell me where that pasuk is. In Malachim Aleph. Okay, great. I actually underlined it, but I didn't see my underline. So that, as if to say, there's not enough sun here. There's so much sun here, Baruch Hashem. Anyway, so how many Mishalim, you know, wise books, so to speak, did Shlomo Melech author? 3,000, but he only chose a few. And if he only chose a few to write them and commit them to writing for all posterity, it must be that those were meant to be selected as Ruach HaKodesh, as Kisvei HaKodesh. So how can you tell me that Koheles is not Metami Yisiyadayim? It does have the status of Kisvei HaKodesh. Shmuel chose Koheles amongst 3,000 plus, you know, a candidate. V'yomer, and secondly, I have a second proof for you from a pasuk in Mishlei. What does the pasuk in Mishlei say? Al Tosif Al Dvarov. In other words, what it means is the following. That you're not allowed to add al dvarav. Okay, let me just see if we can figure out what this means. Oh, lo yitachin shiskavi lesa lahosif al dvarav shomer bal peh shari dvarav bal peh lam shir. What could it mean when he said al tosif al dvarav? Don't add anything. If it's Torah Shebal Peh is endless. It's infinite. You could always add and embellish and expand. But the fact that al tosif al dvarav means that it must have been written Baruch HaKodesh, and when it comes to Ruach HaKodesh, that's what has to be written, and no extra word can be added to Kisvei HaKodesh. So one says, my V'omer, why did you need the second proof? Why wasn't it sufficient to bring the first proof? Chitema, if you'll say, Meimar Tuva Omar, it could very well be that Shlomo Melech had 3,000 Mesholim, but the Iboy Ichtav, the Iboy Lo Ichtav, he decided which ones of these Mesholim were worthy of being recorded for all posterity. Maybe they were clearer, they were more profound, they were more inspirational. He chose them. But it doesn't mean necessarily that he chose them to be part of Kisvei HaKodesh. You know, he may have had preference for whatever reason to these Mesholim above and beyond the other Mesholim. It doesn't mean it was Kisvei Toshma, Al Tosif, Al Dvar. Therefore he brings the second argument. So the bottom line here is that the Chachamim rejected Rav Shimon ben Manasseh for two different reasons, and the establishment of Koheles is Metami Yisiyadayim, and it is elevated to the status of Kisvei HaKodesh, which means that we're going to accept the Shita Beis Hillel against Beit Shammai, even though Beit Shammai turns out to be the Mekilim here. It doesn't matter. We have a rule, a hardcore rule, that Mishnah So Shel Beit Shammai Lav Mishnahi when it's against Beis Hillel. Now, Rabbi Osa, we're about to start a new sugya, so we really don't have time for this. But this is really a cool sugya. I mean, again, it's not the lumbus, but it's beautiful. The Gemara is going to bring no less than 5 proofs that Esther was written Baruch HaKodesh. So let's make a note of where we got up to here. We're up to Tanya, Rabbi Lezer Omer, and each one of these different Amoraim, and Tanoim, and even Shmuel as an Amora, each one is going to bring another proof that what it says in the Megillah could only be possibly known Beruach HaKodesh. Okay, so Blinetta, we'll pick this up. We'll pick this up tomorrow.
I want to challenge in terms of practice. If you say Megillah says that it is Beruach HaKodesh and the Tami Yudayim, so why do we do treat it as a Negeris? Because if you're supposed to introduce them in Megaris, then you're also, you vada'i have to touch it. Not, I mean, we don't read it as a Megillah. We read it as Megaris. And that throws the whole, to me, that throws off the whole concept.
I'll tell you why we read it as Megaris. Because that gives it the element of Pirsimanes. In other words, if we would read it as a separate book in Tanakh, then it would look purely 100% like Talmud Torah. That's called Ksuva ben Aksuvim, as opposed to Megaris. And that would be that element of Heker, you know, just like in remember we spoke in Tanakh about Heker. So we have a parallel concept in Megillah, that what makes Megillah Hekera, and the answer is the fact that it's written as an Egeris. So Bulinetta will, you know, will have a lot to say about Egeris.